Good morning, everyone. Glad to be up here in front of you, and I'm sorry for the occasion. I hope Steve does make a quick recovery of his sickness and is able to be back with us. Glad to have all the visitors we have. We welcome you at any time that you have opportunity. You are definitely our honored guest, as has been mentioned. Appreciate the sentiments that Bill gave, and also appreciate the prayer that Mark led this morning. Hope that what I say you will be able to understand. I'm not going to give you anything that you haven't heard before. I'm not going to try to do it in a way that is new. But we're going to talk about one of the characters in the Old Testament whose name is Caleb, who's probably very familiar with a lot of you, if not all of you, and learn some lessons that we can from the life of Caleb, who it is said has followed the Lord fully. If you'll turn your Bibles to Numbers 13, that's where we'll begin in doing a little summary of Caleb and then look into some of the aspects of his life and why it is that he followed the Lord fully. And if you look there in Numbers 13, we see this is the occasion where the people of Israel have made it out of Egypt. The Lord has delivered them. He has taken them through the wilderness, provided them with the things they needed. They've been to Mount Sinai, where they've been given the law. They have now headed to the promised land. They get to the edge of the promised land, and they choose one man from each tribe to go spy out the land. So 12 men went to spy out the land. And they found the land to be very good, exactly what God had promised. There was all kinds of grapes and figs and pomegranates. They brought back samples when they came back out of just great things that were all theirs for the taking. They spent 40 days in the land, and that is a little bit significant. The number 40 we come across a lot in Scripture, but they were there for 40 days, wandering all about the land and seeing it. And so they come back, and it was kind of a good news, bad news situation. They said, oh, it's great. There's all kinds of things. They brought back samples, like I said, of all the different things they saw. But the people are great. They're just huge. They're giants. And 10 of the spies basically said, we can't do it. There's no way. But two of those spies, they said, yes, we can. Of course, you probably know, if not already, that those two are Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua we know a lot about. Joshua was the one who took the place of Moses after God would not let him enter the land. And Joshua was the one who led the people into the land eventually. And he was that great leader. But Caleb was the other of those two who said that we can do it. In fact, in verse 30 of chapter 13, this is what Caleb said after, you know, the people were talking about, the other spies talked about that, you know, their people are very large, their cities are fortified, you know, we can't do this. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. He was ready to go. And of course, the reason he was ready to go was because he knew that God was with them. Then in verses 31 through the first few verses of chapter 14, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's how bad they thought it was. And so that's what Caleb was up against. He and Joshua were the only ones, the only two of those 12 who stood before the Lord. In fact, they were the only ones of those that had confidence in the Lord. And it said that They were so upset by this that they tore their clothes. Verse 6 of chapter 14. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." They were ready. They knew that God would take care of them. But the people, after they heard that, they did not rally to Joshua and Caleb. In fact, they did exactly the opposite. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. If you look down in verse 29 of chapter 14, it says, in verse 10, it said, "All the congregation said to stone them with stones." That's what they wanted to do in verse 10. They wanted to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So basically, here's where God says, stop. And he speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses what exactly is going to happen. In fact, he tried to tell Moses, "I'm going to just wipe them out and start over." But Moses said, no, forgive them. And then God does pardon them, but not without consequence. And if you get down to verse 29 of chapter 14, God says that the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. So there we have it. The people were not going to be able to enter into the land. But he said, Joshua and Caleb will, because they were the ones who had confidence in the Lord, and they were the ones who were willing to follow the Lord fully. So what was the result? Well, immediately those 10 other spies died from a plague, and all those who were 20 years old and up at that time were to die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And let's go back to verse 24, which says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So that's what we're going to focus on, is the fact that Caleb followed the Lord fully. So what does it mean to follow the Lord fully? The first thing it means is that we should follow all of our days. Follow the Lord fully. All our days. I don't know what's happening with the PowerPoint there, but that's all right. Don't worry about it. It's still there. So what does it mean to follow the Lord all our days? Well, look at Caleb. How did he follow the Lord all our days? He followed from Egypt. He was there when they left Egypt, when God delivered them with a great hand. He was there through the wilderness. He went into the land. He spied it out. He came out of the land and said, "Let's go." He was ready to go and take it. He went through all that. And then finally, Caleb spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness with his brethren. But then he got to enter into the land. And even in his old age, he followed the Lord fully, because when he was given his land to inherit it, he went in himself and fought against the people that were there in the land that God said, "I'm going to give you." And he conquered it, and he took that land. He followed the Lord fully all of his days. Many people do not follow the Lord all their days. And we can think of a few examples. Think of Lot, and Lot's wife, I should say. What's the verse we have in Luke 17 that reminds us? You know, it says, remember Lot's wife. Why are we supposed to remember Lot's wife? Because back in the account there in Genesis, what did she do? She turned back to look toward Sodom. God told him, don't look back, go, leave. She looked back. She did not follow fully. She did not follow all her days. She desired to go back, and the Lord turned her into a pillar of salt. The Galatians, Jason, we read this morning from Galatians 1 there when we did the memorial. And if you just keep going a little bit further in Galatians, there in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to the Galatians, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And even in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? They did not follow completely or fully all of their days, some of those Galatians. Not all, but some of them. They were turned back to the things that they had done before. Well, we too should follow the Lord all of our days. Now, some of us, you know, can't go back and change things at the beginning. That's okay, because from the time that you know the truth, I think that's really what we're going to be held accountable for. We're going to be held accountable for all that we do. And for the moment we know the truth and what we should do, follow the Lord fully from that point forward, all of those days. Some are obey when they're younger. In fact, we are encouraged to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Some of these verses, again, we have put into our memory work. And the preacher there in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 does say, to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And Paul wrote specifically to a young man named Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, says to him there, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So obey the Lord from our youth, but don't stop there. Obey the Lord and follow Him fully even when we're older. Just turn a few pages from Timothy over to Titus. And what does Paul say to Titus here to have him to do in chapter 2? He says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. They're encouraged there to follow as they are older. And there are many psalms that we can go to see some of these examples. One of those is Psalm 95. If you want to turn to Psalm 95, this is a call for us to worship and obey. We won't read the whole psalm. And I've got Psalm 95. It's Psalm 92. Back up a page. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. That's Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So serve God to follow the Lord all of our days, as young and as old. And to follow with all of our heart. Caleb was one who followed with all of his heart. He did not do it halfway, half-heartedly. I mean, look at what he said to do. He was ready to go right then and take the land. He tore his clothes because of how they rebelled against God. He was upset with that. He was following completely with all of his heart, wholly. And Jesus emphasized our need to do the same. If we go to Matthew 22, again, a memory verse that we have in Matthew 22, but he is quoting here from Deuteronomy, and beginning there in verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus himself emphasized how important it is for us to follow with all of our heart, not half-heartedly, not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And many will try to do that with a divided heart. We can go to examples from the Old and New Testament of those who tried to do both. And Solomon is a great example that I think of. And he was influenced by all of his foreign wives, even though he was told what would happen. He had a part of his heart that followed the Lord and part of his heart followed the gods of his wives. And he was not, did not turn out well for him. He was not following with all of his heart. And even in the New Testament, in the book of James, James chapter 4 and verse 4. In this verse, we are told here by James that you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. In verse 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't do both. And Jesus again instructs us in this, in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is always a great place to go back and spend some time in. For some, just if you need a boost, you need some encouragement to continue on, need reminders of what we need to do. And here in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we too must follow the Lord with all of our heart. And Jesus again in John chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't keep some of them. Don't keep them when you want to. Keep my commandments. And then another thing that we must do in order to follow the Lord fully is to follow despite the hazards. And there are many hazards that come up along the way. Did Caleb face some hazards? Well, he certainly did. Think initially when he went in to spy out the land. Did he see the same things that the other spies saw? He did. He saw those giants in the land, and he was willing to serve the Lord fully despite the fact that there were giants that would have to be overtaken, because he trusted in the Lord. He knew the Lord would lead them and guide them and fight for them. Then, when they came back out of the land, he had to face another hazard, and maybe even a bigger hazard, one that maybe we don't think of sometimes. He had to face his brethren who were opposed to him. But what, did he back down? No. He stood firm, and he said, let's go right now. At once, he said, let's go take it. He did not back down from even his brethren who wanted to stone him because of what he was wanting to do. And then in his old age, we mentioned, he was willing to go and conquer the land that was promised to him. And I failed to write that down, but I was thinking it was Joshua 14. But I may be wrong about that. But nonetheless, we can go and find that verse in the book of Joshua where it might be, where it talks about Caleb, who even as he was older, as the children of Israel were going in to conquer the land, he himself, there it is in chapter 15, chapter 15 of the book of Joshua, beginning there in verse 13, it talks about how he went up and himself helped to drive out those sons of Anak, which were the giants of the land. He wasn't fazed by the fact that they were still there or that he was older. He followed the Lord despite the hazards that were there. Many will serve only when it's convenient. I think of the crowds in Matthew and in the accounts of the other Gospels. In fact, go to the account of John, chapter 6. I think this account is just about in every one of the Gospels where Jesus fed the 5,000, and then later he fed 4,000 with just a very little amount. You know, just a few loaves and a few fish. And in the account of John, it's interesting here, that after the feeding of the 5,000, then there's the account of him walking on the sea. And then on the following day, people come together again to hear him. And in verse 26 of John 6, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And then there was a dialogue about who Jesus was. And he told them that "I am the bread of life" in verse 35. And many did not like what he had to say here. And then in fact, he said there in verse 66 of this chapter, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." And then Jesus said to his 12, "Do you want to go away also?" And we hear Peter's great confession, you know, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe that and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, many there only served because they were getting something from him. They only followed the Lord because of the food. Also, there are some that will only follow when they feel it is safe to follow, when they don't feel they're going to be persecuted or anything from that. We had the account of Peter this morning, and I don't want to, you know, jump onto Peter and be real harsh, because Peter wasn't the only one in this position. But we do see the account of Peter specifically, who was told he would deny Christ, and he did. But there in the garden, when Peter was warming himself by the fire, if you can go to Matthew 26, see Matthew's account, where he, even to the point of cursing, said, "I do not know the man." Not going to get into Peter's mind, but you know, he did not follow the Lord despite the hazards that were in front of him. Now, thankfully, we know enough about Peter to know that he returned. And that's another one of the great things. Because we may not do one of these things, maybe we don't follow all of our days, the Lord will accept us back. Maybe we haven't followed with all our heart at some time in our life, but we can change that. Maybe we have not followed despite some of the hazards we've come across, but we can change that. The Lord will accept us back if we repent and follow him again. We must follow the Lord fully. So that's what it means. Follow all our days. Follow with all our heart. Follow despite the hazards. But we also have to know how we might be able to do that. Some encouragement on how we can actually follow the Lord fully. Now, one way in which we can follow the Lord fully is make sure we keep our eyes on him. Literal eyes, yeah, in a sense, but mostly our spiritual eyes, our mind. The best passage that I can think of that talks about how we can keep our eyes on him is in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 11, we have just seen many examples of great faith. And some of those people, we think, you know, they're these great characters of the Old Testament. And there's no way I can do this. But some of them are people just like you and me, as is mentioned there, that they withstood. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings and chains, imprisonments. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. And these all, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us follow fully. Let us run with endurance. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Caleb was one who kept his eyes upon the Lord at all times. Remember what he said when they came out and the others gave a bad report? He said, let's go up at once and take the land. And again, when they wanted to rebel, they tore their clothes, and he and Joshua, because they were so confident, they kept their eyes on the Lord, and we can too. And also, how can we follow the Lord fully? By having a different spirit. If you go back and look at Joshua 14 and verse 20, or Numbers 14 and verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. What's that mean, a different spirit? Joshua or Caleb's spirit was different than those other 10 spies who gave a bad report. His spirit was different than the rest of Israel, who were wanting to stone him and get another leader and go back to Egypt. Can you imagine that? He had a different spirit. We too can have a different spirit. Now, how can we obtain that different spirit? We cannot allow ourselves to be conformed by the world around us. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there's many other passages we could go to that help encourage us to have a different spirit. We are told that we should be a peculiar people. You know, we're not to be like the world. Don't be like everyone around us. Have a different spirit. And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, how can we do this? Because we have been given not a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can have a different spirit because of what God has given us. We can endure. We can keep our eyes on Jesus. Caleb followed the Lord fully. We can too. Don't forget it. Don't let anything tell you differently. Can it be hard? Absolutely. There can be hazards. You might even have some of your family that's trying to keep you from following the Lord fully. You can hold fast. You can endure. The book of Hebrews also talks about how many during that time of Joshua and Caleb did not get to go and enter into the rest that had been prepared for them. Well, there's a rest prepared for us. Don't harden your heart like they did in the rebellion. Talking about that time of Joshua and Caleb. Don't harden your heart like they did in the rebellion and were not allowed to enter into the rest. Hold fast the confession that is in you so that you can enter into that rest. And that rest awaits us all. It awaits those who follow the Lord fully. If you've started on that journey and have fallen off the path, if you have not followed all your days, if you've not followed with all your heart, if you've not followed despite some of the hazards, you can correct that today. You can come back to Him and follow Him fully. If you've never started on that journey to follow Him fully, you can give yourself up in baptism to Christ today and be baptized into His body for the remission of your sins. And you can start on that journey to that heavenly rest that waits us all who are faithful, those who follow the Lord fully. Whatever we can do to help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?